Okay, so our first trivia question is going to be for our guest and ask him, what show was that theme from? And we'll see if he knows the answer. And our guest has been, could be maybe called a walking encyclopedia. He's written more than 50,000 trivia questions. I'm Jill Nadeau. This is the Larry Mueller Show, and we're talking about pub trivia. And the man that we're going to put on the spot is Ryan Wickens. He is with us, and he's the founder and owner of Quizmaster Trivia. And the company holds trivia events across Wisconsin, Chicago, and the Twin Cities. And we have a trivia question for you from him. So our next guest is going to be talking about a book, and part of that is going to be centered on Wizard of Oz. So we thought we would have a question or two about that. So here's the question. Some consider this the world premiere showing. On August 12th, 1939, The Wizard of Oz was screened at the Strand Theater in which Wisconsin town? Was it A, Green Bay, B, Manitowoc, or C, Oconomowoc? And if you listened to our show before, you should know this answer. But if you do, just send us an email at talk@wpr.org, and we'll give you a shout out if you get it right. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hello. How's it going?
It's going great. So do you know what the game show was from that music?
That was Family Feud, of course.
You got it. Okay.
We actually have a different name for that in the UK. It's called Family Fortunes. I don't know why it's different, but it's the exact same show. We just
copyright.
We have different words for things, right? Soccer, football is a good example of that. So thanks for having me on today.
For sure. Well, I love trivia, and I think most people do. how do your contests work?
Yeah, so we, it's called Pub Trivia, Pub Quiz, Trivia Night. There's different names for it. But, the whole point of it is to kind of get people to come in groups together. It's like a social event. We try not to take ourselves too seriously. But the format is really straightforward. You have a live host at each bar. We kind of team hosts with venues for that familiarity where you're seeing the same person every week. And that really helps build the audience. And people come in groups of up to 8 players. It's an old school, because sometimes people ask me, oh, is it done on your phone? Is it done on the TVs? But, you know, the charm of our format and a lot of other pub trivia formats, to be honest, is that it's a pen and paper game. So we're on our phones way too much. All of us can agree on that. So for 2 hours, you put your phone away, you get a piece of paper and a pen. We have a 6-round format. Each round is split into 5 questions. So it's a 30 question total. And then we actually end the game with a lightning round. It's like a speed category at the very end. And we have other gimmicks that we involve on our specific format. We have some wager categories where you're kind of betting questions based on how confident you are of your answers, which is not always people aren't always too confident. And then we also always have a picture category where people are kind of referencing visual clues for one round, which is kind of a unique thing to our specific game. I don't know how many other trivia nights or companies do that. So
do you send out then a quiz master to the venue? Is that how that works?
Yeah, we partner with people who are local to the location usually, and they have a location they're paired with. They go to the location. We provide all the content, all the supplies, all the marketing. You know, it's kind of the reason bars hire us is it's an all-inclusive service. You know, I have friends who own bars, and it is a lot of work, and there's a lot of things they're juggling. So, you know, hiring a company to just take care of all of that is really beneficial for them. But yeah, we have, you know, hosts that partner at each location. Some hosts do multiple days a week. Just depends on their schedule and stuff. But yeah, we make it as easy as possible for the venues by providing all of the content, all of the supplies, and so forth.
How did you get involved in this? Obviously, you're from the UK. Now, I know that's really popular there.
I'm so happy you said that in Australia, because I get the Aussie thing all the time. Oh. Yeah. So, yeah, it's funny. Pub quizzes, as we call them in England, have been around for like decades, like since the 70s and 80s. And when I moved over here in 2003, I came for college in Milwaukee, and I ended up working at a British pub my senior year, and like nowhere, it was not a, it was not a thing now. Like, trivia nights are now everywhere. And in like 2006, I think it was my senior year, is when I started the pub quiz business. I say that for people who can't see because it's radio, with like air quotes, because right. It really wasn't a business at the time. It was just me. I worked at the bar. The owner of the pub, it was a British pub, was also British. And he kind of said, let's do a quiz night. Like, you know, no one was doing it. And I just was kind of, it was kind of one of those situations where it was like right place, right time. I ended up running the game. There were some other people working there, obviously, but it kind of fell on my shoulders eventually. And it was like super popular. It was a very small bar, had like a seating capacity of like 60. But I think that benefited it because it was easy to fill, and we would fill it up every week. And then like the word got out, and there were a group of guys who came in every week who had a friend who owned another British pub on the other side of town. And, you know, after about a year of doing it, that guy came to me and said, hey, would you do this at my, because I never initially, I was just kind of a side hustle that I'm just kind of doing for some extra cash and for some fun. I already work there. And then when this person came along and asked me to, you know, try at his venue, that's kind of when the idea for, okay, well, there's actually a demand for this. And then the demand started growing. We did it at the Milwaukee Ale House. A lot of these old clients are not around anymore. And then it just kind of grew from there, and it kind of grew organically. It didn't explode like overnight. It was a lot of like, you know, just gradual word of mouth, you know, advertising in that respect. And, you know, now we're up to, as you said in your intro, like multiple cities and states and stuff where we do our events. So
that's wonderful. And I love that it was so organic too. Sometimes those are the best, most stable businesses.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sure. I guess the question probably everybody asks you is like, where do all these questions come from?
It's funny you say that. Yeah. The two questions people ask me are like, well, when they start talking to me and hear me, they ask me where I'm from. We already talked about that. Yeah. They ask me like, how did it start? But the one I get asked the most often is, where do you get the questions from? And a magician doesn't reveal his secrets. I'm kidding. I have like various sources that I reference, but because when you run your own business, you're like constantly working. You're constantly thinking about how you can improve things. So I'm just always on the lookout. I'll be watching TV and the show I'm watching will throw up a fact, and I'm like, oh, you flip that on its head, and it's like a trivia question, right? So like, I'll take like voice notes in my phone if I'm out somewhere. You know, there's various websites where I go for references, where I can look things up. And again, I'm not a copy and paste question writer, because, and I think part of our success, you know, our small success as a small business is like, we do have good content and people enjoy that. And trivia files will notice if it's like, oh, we just got these off some website, or just, you know, basic questions. You really have to do your research, particularly when we do like themed events like our Harry Potter and Disney games. But I've just been compiling the questions for so long now that I actually have more than 50,000 questions. Sorry to correct you, but it's more like 70. Because I at first I wasn't saving them, but after a couple of years, and once we start getting more clients, I'd be like, it might be useful to have this content to reference or reuse years down the road. And if we do reuse content, it's not for at least 3 or 4 years. But most of the time, I'm writing new stuff because I just know people are gonna know that they heard that question before. So
it's amazing. Yeah. You can remember, you know, you remember the question, but sometimes you don't remember the answer. At least that's my problem. So, yeah. We haven't heard from anybody yet with that answer to that first question that we gave. I'm going to give you one more chance. Some consider this the world premiere showing on August 12th, 1939. The Wizard of Oz was screened at the Strand Theater in which Wisconsin town? Was it Green Bay, Manitowoc, or Oconomowoc? Okay, so just send an email into talk@wpr.org. Do you have another one for me, Ryan?
Another question?
Yeah, give me a question.
I'll read one to you. Are you going to answer, or are the people going to answer?
I'm going to answer.
Okay. I'll give you, quote unquote, an easy one.
Okay. Okay.
One of the advantages I have from as someone who's been doing this for like almost 20 years is a lot of when you're writing content, it's figuring out, is it hard or is it easy? Because when you already know the answer, it's easy to you, right? But you've got to kind of put yourself in people's shoes. Mm-hmm. And our games have like a good balance of easy and difficult questions. We want it to be fun. So this is hopefully, but sometimes I'm wrong about that, whether it's hard or easy. This is hopefully one of the easier questions. So here's a question for you. Composed of long and thin fibers, what harmful industrial substance was used as the snow on the set of The Wizard of Oz?
Has to be asbestos.
It is asbestos. Yeah. Well, that was, you know, I'm reading about The Wizard of Oz, you know, and I've not just for today, but, you know, it's a popular film and we've asked content about it in the past. And it seems like their standards, and I think the world in general, were not quite as high as they are now, because there were numerous kind of hazards on set. And if you want another question, I've got another one for you.
I think I know what you're going to ask, but go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Okay. The next one is Buddy Ebsen was cast as the original Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz, but he had to abandon the part after being hospitalized due to an allergic reaction to what?
The face paint, right? The silver aluminum
based
paint.
Yeah, the makeup actually was made of, and I have to say it this way because I'm English, aluminium powder. aluminum, as you would say. But there's other stories, like the Wicked Witch of the West, the actress who played her, Margaret Hamilton, I think was her name. She had some reaction to the, I think her green makeup was like copper-based.
Yes.
So like they had all these metal-based makeups back then, mm-hmm. and it, you know, didn't jive well with most people.
Yeah, and
so.
I think when she went through that trap door in the where Dorothy first comes to Oz, it was fire, and she had really bad burns because
of it. That's right.
So.
I did read that as well, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We've got a couple of guesses. So Bill emailed us, and his guess is Green Bay. And Nancy in Rubicon emailed us, and her guess was Oconomowoc.
You want the answer?
I do.
Okay, so the first town where apparently The Wizard of Oz screened ever was the Strand Theater in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Did I say it right?
You did.
I've lived here long enough to pronounce those town names. Yeah.
We did have someone from one of the museums in Oconomowoc on to talk about that last year.
Oh, nice.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. So there's some technicalities, but I'm glad you put some.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So, all right. How about one more Wizard of Oz one for people who are listening?
Okay, I've got two questions. They are both multiple choice, just like the theater one. So a pair of Dorothy's, because they had, like on set, they have multiple, you know, pairs of shoes and dresses and stuff. But one pair of Dorothy's famous red slippers sold at auction in December 2024, so just a couple of months ago. How much did they go for? How much did the red ruby slippers sell for at auction 2 months ago? Was it A, $1.7 million? That's the lowest option. B, $9.9 million, or C, $32.5 million. So Dorothy's famous red slippers sold 2 months ago, $1.7 million, $9.9 million, or $32.5 million.
Okay, so if you think you know the answer without Googling now, don't you? Yeah, it's talk@wpr.org. If you have a question or a comment about pub trivia, you can give us a call, 800-642-1234, and we'd love to hear from you. So you do theme nights.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if it was the honor, but I did have to do a Harry Potter trivia night.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, luckily it was other people involved, because I thought, oh, I have these great ones. I love Harry Potter. I mean, people were just whipping through these questions like it was nothing. So how do you, like you said, make sure that people who don't know a lot and those who really know a lot are satisfied with your quiz?
Yeah, that's the fine balance between, you know, having a great quiz night and one that isn't so good. It's kind of just finding that balance. There's going to be questions that we read, and usually the first couple are kind of gimmies.
Okay.
And I kind of say when I'm hosting, because I still host from time to time, not as much as I used to, you know, if you don't know this first one, then your team's in trouble.
You know,
we try to make that first question easy. We give people a full sense of confidence. We lure them in. But it's just a balancing act of you know, hard versus easy. People find out, you know, when they go to a theme game, like you said, oh, I'm a Harry Potter super fan. Maybe I'm not so much of a super fan based on what happened here today. But, you know, we have the wager categories. We have the picture round. We make stuff. It's a hard way to explain it, but we make it answerable sometimes without making it impossible. Mm-hmm. And that's just a lot of times that's how the question is written. You know, where people can kind of surmise or come up with an intelligent guess at the very least.
I like,
you know,
not that. Feel,
you know, it's just if you're there and you're like, I have absolutely no idea. I can't even write something down. I'm so lost. You know, we try to avoid that as much as possible.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're talking with Ryan Wickens. He is the founder and owner of Quizmaster Trivia. What do you want to know about the work that goes into your weekly trivia? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org.
You might want to add some inflation to that answer, because the correct answer was actually $32.5 million, which is just outrageous.
It is. I can't imagine someone with that much disposable income.
I know. It's it's definitely among the most expensive, like, items memorabilia-wise ever sold, so... You know, it is iconic, but I don't know if it's worth that amount.
Yeah, well, we'll see. They do keep going up, so I guess maybe it's a good investment. I don't know.
Yeah.
So how have you, you know, you've been doing this for, what'd you say, like 20 years. So how have things changed in the pub trivia business since then?
Yeah, well, you know, when we started, smartphones and the internet was not nearly as prevalent. Obviously, 2006 was our first year. And people always ask me, how do you prevent people from cheating, right? That's like one of the things, because it's so easy to find out stuff these days. And really my answer is, most of the time we don't have to, because the people that are coming and are going to come every week, they enjoy the challenge of playing trivia. And so it kind of defeats the purpose to like Google something and to win what, like most venues are giving away some gift cards to the venue. It's normally not a ton of money. It might cover like a couple of rounds of drinks, depends on the location. But so that's not an issue for us as much as people might think. And then it's just the evolving with your audience, you know, our target market for many places, not all, because trivia does transcend, you know, age groups. But 25 to 40 people are kind of going out more during the week. Most of our events are weeknights. And so it's just evolving the content to be relevant for people. Although there's stuff, you know, there's definitely useless knowledge questions. I have a whole useless knowledge category archive that, like I said, transcend age groups. So it doesn't matter how old people are. But otherwise, the only other thing that really changed for us was obviously when COVID-19 happened. That was a tough time for us, as it was for all restaurants, because we're like an in-person business where people have to come and play. So we actually did do virtual trivia online. And that was kind of different for us. I had the content, but I kind of had to format it so people could play online. We sent them a link. The first night we did that, you know, because our business kind of went to zero overnight. It, you know, we all remember it kind of happened suddenly when things closed down. And what happened is I was like, I'll put together this virtual quiz in like 3 days. And then we sent out, you know, the message to our followers via social media. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe we'll have like 30 or 40 teams. And our business wasn't as big in 2019, 2020 as it is now. It really grew a lot in the last 2 or 3 years. But I was thinking maybe 40, 50 teams. And we had 500 teams playing that first night. And like people are doing their own Zoom chats, you know, because people can't be together. Mm-hmm. So I estimate like most, and that was the case. We did it 3 days a week for 3 months, and then we kind of scaled back a bit. But it was most nights 400 to 500 teams, and people, from what I could see online, were in groups of 5, 6, 7, 8 people. So it was like thousands of people playing at a time, which was fun. And we had an accompanying live stream that was good. But I'm pleased we're not doing it anymore, because doing it in person is... like most things, just way better. So
sure. Well, it must have been a lifeline for a lot of people during those times.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it really was. Yeah. It helped us get through it for sure.
Yeah. So have you heard of the book by Richard Osman called We Solve Murders? He's the guy that wrote the Thursday Murder Club books.
Okay.
He's a Brit, but he's got one of the characters is addicted to pub trivia.
Oh, really?
Pub
okay.
quiz. Oh, yes. In fact, he's out there trying to solve. Yeah, he's trying to solve murders, and he has to go back. You know, wants to go back for his trivia night. So,
that's funny.
Yeah, you should take a look at that. It's funny.
I will, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay. Throw me another question.
Do you want a Wizard of Oz question or something?
Yeah, throw me something else. Throw me something else.
Okay, so here's a good one for you. This is like a classic trivia question that I ask people when people just say they find out I run a trivia company. Oh, give me a question, you know, because I got a lot going on up here, but there's a few in my head that are kind of my go-tos. So this one is actually a 7-point answer. And this is something you'll see in our games. A lot of the questions I've asked so far about the Wizard of Oz, it's like a one word, a one part answer.
Mm-hmm.
And something that makes our game unique is we have various questions and it's random throughout our game where you can get multiple points. So on this one, 7-point answer. For example, if you were playing at a trivia night and you got 5 out of 7, you get 5 points. So you can get like partial credit.
Okay.
And that's what makes this kind of fun is you can still, it's not an all or nothing answer. So here's the question for you. Which 7 letters in the English alphabet also serve as Roman numerals?
Ah.
So you get a point for each of the 7 you can get. So
I.
Mm-hmm.
C.
C is 100. Yep.
V.
That's where the V. Yep.
M. X.
Nice. Yes. You got 2 to go.
L.
L is 50. A lot of people get that because of the Super Bowl. You know,
that's true. I never thought about that. Yeah. So there's
and then
one.
The one you're missing. The one you're missing is the one people always miss. So you have I, V, X, L, C, and M.
And. I don't know. Oh, come on. I got 6
right. They told
right.
me they'd play the sound effects. The last answer is D.
E.
D is 500. D is in Daisy, yeah, for 500.
Wow.
So, yeah, I is 1, V is 5, X is 10, L, as we said, is 50. C, which is where the word century comes from, is 100.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't have a number that was higher than 1,000 in Roman numerals. So M is 1,000.
Okay.
And D, as we said, is 500.
I love it. See,
yeah,
I learned something too.
Yeah,
sure. So, you know, and seeing that, what makes a good host for trivia, you know, like yourself? I mean,
for sure.
What kind of personality?
So obviously we train all of our hosts on site at venues to run the game. A lot of times people who apply are people who played and not just one time, like people who played for weeks or months or years, then become hosts because, you know, maybe certain people on their team left and can't make it anymore and they still want to be involved. And hosting is a great way to do that. But obviously I'm looking for people who are reliable. You know, it's a weekly event in most cases. Most of our clients do it, you know, every Wednesday, every Thursday, whatever the day is. So you need to be reliable and be there every week. Obviously, there are exceptions to that where people might be on vacation or sick. But you need to be, you know, outgoing and engaging. You don't have to be an expert at trivia because a lot of times people think, oh, you have to know it all. But I provide all the content for them. And 99% of our content is correct. You know, I'm not going to say it's 100% because sometimes
we all make a mistake.
Yeah, we won't go into that. But, you know, you want to be engaging. We teach people when they're at the venue to build up a rapport with their customers and with their audience because you will see, you know, repeat teams and repeat customers. People tend to have a venue that's their go-to place. And so, you know, we, you know, coach our quiz masters, as we call them, to just engage with people and have fun with it and make it their own. We kind of give them the format and the structure, but I give hosts like a lot of freedom to run the game to a degree, how they want it to, what music they want to play, because they are usually in control of the music because they have to kind of pause the music when they're speaking. And so that all kind of adds to the vibe of that specific host.
Do the venues usually have all the sound equipment and things that they need?
It varies. sometimes we have to provide equipment, whether that's plugging into their house sound or providing a speaker. But, you know, it definitely makes my life easier if locations have their own equipment. It just, it, every venue is different.
Now, I heard that you do things like for Fortune 500 companies like Miller Coors and GE. How do you, did you twist your trivia for those particular companies? I mean, you need to make it fun, right?
We do have safe for work trivia, yes, because some of the, some of the, some of the, I wouldn't say so much the content, but certainly like the team names, because all our locations are pub trivia locations. People get a prize for first and second place, and then we have the best team name prize, and people come up with these wild team names that I cannot say on air, unfortunately, but you can go to our website and see them, because we have blog posts every month with all the best team names. But for corporate clients, certainly we are on our best behavior. I send my best hosts, and the content reflects that. And we have, like you said, worked for, you know, we've done smaller events for fundraisers. I've done weddings. I did an 8-year-old's birthday party once upon a time. I've done trivia on a boat before, like the riverboat cruises have hired us. But then we have done stuff for Harley Davidson. I've done stuff for the Brewers, the Packers, Miller Coors, you know, Cola, and various other like well-known Wisconsin companies. So we're often seen as kind of a go-to when, you know, corporate events want, you know, something for their employees to engage in. So it definitely works really well for that.
Well, wonderful. And thank you for sharing some of your questions and for telling us about your business. It sounds like a really fun way to live your life.
Yeah, it's something, like I said, I kind of fell into, and it grew organically, and I'm pleased that I do it. And just working with yourself, just from an entrepreneur standpoint, it, there's nothing quite like it. So the
wonderful
dream lives on. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you, Ryan Wickens. He's the founder and owner of Quizmaster Trivia. We're going to be back in just a bit. We're going to be talking to the author of Bummer Camp. Stay with us.